This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, Boker Tov. Goodness me, what a story playing out in Israel. And I was telling listeners earlier, I hardly slept last night. I was just keeping an eye on the news virtually through the night. Very, very scary stuff.
Well, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov, yes. I was thinking about how I was going to start this morning before the events of last night. And the way I was planning to start was to say there were so many things that I didn't speak about last week because of the just so much news going on. I didn't talk about the disengagement law that was repealed and the fact that the U.S., the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. was called in and given a talking over. I didn't talk about events that took place in Huwara, two shooting events, IDF soldiers injured there, another civilian also injured. I didn't talk about events on the Lebanese border where two IDF soldiers were injured last week. I didn't talk about the fact that the Palestinian Authority is in a whole lot of flux because of time differences. They don't know which time zone they're on. Some, they decided not to move their clocks forward to the summer time because of Ramadan. Some people's clocks were moved forward. Some people ended their fast early when they shouldn't have ended their fast. Some people were called to prayer. All very, very confusing indeed. Lebanon apparently with two time zones as well because of Ramadan. And yet we have to really talk about the events of last night because, well, not only last night, Howard. I mean, let's go back to Thursday when you and I were texting about the events of, you know, when the Prime Minister first came on TV on Thursday, because he had been threatened effectively by Defense Minister Yoav Gallant. What happened on Thursday was that Yoav Gallant decided during the course of the day that he was going to make a public announcement on TV. And we all expected him to come out and say that he cannot support the reform, the judicial reform. And the reason that he can't support it is because the state of Israel's security situation is currently compromised as a result of pushing this judicial process forward. People associated with the security forces in this country are not happy with the way that things are being done. And people are standing up and saying, I can't serve in full honesty and in good faith. I can't serve my country because I can't get behind what's going on here right now. Now, the army has always been a bastion of no politics allowed. That's the way that the army has always worked up until now. Politics is off limits in the army in general, except for days of general election when people are allowed to vote on their military races. But other than that, politics is off limits. And yet, this process of the judicial reform and the people speaking out against judicial reform, even people saying, I can't do my reserve duty because I don't feel that I'm motivated as a result of what's going on, has been tolerated by the army. The army are effectively saying in a very silent way, we understand you. We do understand you. And while we don't like it when people say they're not going to serve, they're not going to do their legal duty to serve their country, to secure its safety, we do understand where you're coming from. And that translated into 200 pilots coming out saying that they didn't want to do their reserve duty because they just feel that what's going on with the judicial reform process right now doesn't represent them in any possible way. And the army has kind of been, let's say, sucking this up, tolerating it, not standing up and saying, you guys are not okay. We're going to court-martial you for refusing to serve. They haven't done that. They've tolerated, they've understood it to the point where the defense minister decided on Thursday that the security of this country is compromised And so he, by all accounts, went to see the prime minister. He wanted to make a public statement. But before he was allowed to do that, the prime minister called him in for a discussion. We don't know what happened behind closed doors in the prime minister's office, but what we do know was the prime minister made the meeting such that it coincided exactly with the time that Yoav Gallant, the defense minister, was due to appear on TV. He had said he was going to appear on TV at 7:30, and the minister with the meeting with the prime minister rolled and didn't take place. It was already 7:30. It was 8 o'clock. There was no public statement on TV. And then eventually, after some delay, we hear Yoav Gallant has decided not to make his public statement on TV, and instead the prime minister will make a public statement. So we had all been led to believe through those actions that somehow Gallant had convinced the prime minister of his position, and the prime minister was taking up his cause and was going to make an announcement. But instead, the prime minister, while starting out by saying his very understanding of the protests and the demonstrations and the anti-feeling against the judicial reform, but then he went on to justify why it was necessary to change the selection process for the Supreme Court judges, why it's not okay the way that things are done at the moment, and the fact that he's going to push through, and that judicial selection law change was going to be pushed through almost no matter what. That was what came out on Thursday evening. And people were left completely astounded that the opportunity by the prime minister when he made this public statement on TV hadn't been used to say, we're going to take a step back and we're going to slow things down and we're going to rethink this process. We're coming up to Pesach, we're coming up to Yom HaTzmaut, to Yom HaZikaron, to Yom HaShoah. These are days when we want to unite as a country. We're about to celebrate our 75th Yom HaTzmaut anniversary of independence. Let's come together as a nation rather than find ways to define ourselves. We thought that he was going to just take a step back and just allow us to take a deep breath and to reconsider where we're going. But no, that wasn't his position. Sorry, I'm carrying on.
No, carry on.
I'll take a breath for a moment.
Give us the whole picture and then I'll ask my question.
He then went to London, of course, to meet with the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, which took place on Friday morning. And then all of those horrible pictures coming out from London with the Prime Minister dining in Gordon Ramsay's Michelin star restaurant on Friday night, a very unkosher restaurant on Friday night at the Savoy in London, with lots and lots of demonstrators around him, people accusing him of dining in this non-kosher restaurant on Friday night in London, and then coming back to Israel this week in order to vote the Chametz law into power, which will effectively mean that hospitals will be entitled to prevent people from bringing Chametz into the hospital during Pesach. That's the prime minister that we're talking about. He returned back from London yesterday, and Yoav Gallant, in the meantime, decided that what had gone down on Thursday wasn't to his liking at all, and that he felt that the prime minister, in making his announcement on TV, didn't really represent his position. So on Saturday night already, Yoav Gallant came out making a statement saying, I don't support the judicial reform process, and I'm effectively going to vote against it. That was in his announcement on Saturday night. Alongside massive demonstrations up and down Israel. Something like 600,000 people turned up to demonstrate on Saturday night in 150 locations across Israel against the judicial reform process. So then the prime minister was left with a decision to make yesterday, which he did. He decided to fire Yoav Gallant, who's not supporting the judicial process. And in firing Yoav Gallant, he simply got the nation riled up even further. And what we saw last night was just a reaction to all of that, saying what we're seeing up until now is not okay. And people came out onto the streets of Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Haifa, across Israel in a spontaneous show of anti-feeling against the current judicial reform process, against the current coalition government, and against the prime minister himself in the way that he's handling things. And this was an amazing show of unity in opposition against what's going on at the moment at government level. And this really represented the people of Israel. This is an amazing piece of energy that came out last night You, I'm sure, have seen all the pictures of people lighting bonfires on the Ayalon Highway, trying to get close to the Prime Minister's residence in Jerusalem, even though he wasn't at the residence at the time, demonstrating peacefully and just getting together almost like a Kumsit atmosphere on the Ayalon Highway.
So that was incredible for me, and I was saying to listeners earlier, there was no looting. There were no people burning flags. In fact, they were waving Israeli flags. Yes, there was some burning of tires on the Ayalon, but it's really the first time we've seen this, you know, that, and it certainly hasn't resulted in damage to property, loss of life, people being hurt. We aren't seeing that, and I think that is something that is noteworthy and amazing, because it actually, some of the scenes that I was seeing, it looked like a nightclub in Tel Aviv. People were dancing and singing. It was quite remarkable. That said, more than one, and including members of my family, we, you know, on all of these groups, people were saying, has Bibi lost his mind? Is he out of control? Is Sarah and his son, what's his name, Yair, running the country? What is actually going on? It's unfathomable to think that he is so tone deaf that he fires his minister who holds the most critical position, knowing, as you've said, that you've got this tension with the army. What could he have been thinking?
I was sure on Thursday that the security situation had finally made the Prime Minister understand that he can't carry on like this anymore, that the security situation is such that we can't allow this to continue. But I was surprised that he just decided to push forward. And what I'm seeing and what I'm sensing here is a soft military coup in this country. And what I mean by that is the military is not coming out and trying to assume control of the country
at
all.
They don't particularly want that, but they are saying enough is enough.
But the military are influencing what the government is deciding. And we've seen that the Minister of Defense, when he's saying, on my watch, I can't allow our country to be weakened to the point that we're unable to defend ourselves. And therefore, I am forced, no matter what my personal feeling is, I'm forced to oppose this process because it's weakening our country to the point of that we can't defend ourselves. So that's the Minister of Defense. And that is what I consider to be the soft military coup, where the military are influencing the way that the government are behaving. And we are waiting for the Prime Minister to come on TV. I have the TV on in the background while I'm speaking to you guys. And we're waiting for the Prime Minister to come on to make a statement. We are understanding, and hot off the press right now, the latest headlines are saying he's going to put a stop to the judicial reform process in his statement on TV. We're just waiting for that to come about. The president has already said, stop this right now, or at least stop it the way it's rolling. Nobody is saying that we don't need reform. And perhaps in another discussion, we can talk about what is going on, why this judicial reform has been proposed, and why people are so opposed to it. Because there is a very substantive discussion to be held about that. But in the current form, it's just not working.
And that does seem to be accepted across the board, that there is a need for judicial reform. I don't think I've spoken to one person on any side that is saying that there shouldn't be. But the way in which it is being handled without consultation and the extent that it is being pushed through, to which it's being pushed through, is obviously very, very dangerous.
Well, the reason why people are opposed to the judicial reform in the current way that it's being handled is for two main reasons. One is because these laws are being mixed up with laws to allow people like Aryeh Deri and Netanyahu himself to serve in the government without any legal comeback. So Deri, for example, who's been convicted twice of criminal offences, is officially, according to the law, not allowed to serve as a minister. And yet, last night, while the protests were going on, the Knesset was trying to pass a law which would allow him to serve as a minister even so. So that's been mixed in with the judicial reform, which people are very much opposed to. The other issue is that mixed in with the judicial reform are changes to the law which will effectively weaken the Supreme Court and thereby reduce minority protection rights in Israel. What I'm mean by minority protection rights is that the Knesset will effectively be allowed to pass laws which will force women to dress in a certain way at the cartel, potentially reduce rights of the LGBTQ community, potentially reduce the rights of people who are not halachically Jewish or who are questionable in terms of their halachic Judaism. Those minorities could potentially be discriminated against by the way in which the new laws are being pushed through, and people are feeling threatened by that. They're feeling that our democracy is being threatened because minority protection rights are being weakened along with the whole judicial reform process. And that's where people are saying we are not willing to tolerate that situation.
And that's where we leave it. It's 8:01. Anthony Reich, we'll catch you tomorrow morning for the continuation of this. If you do have any news or breaking news before, if there is an announcement before, Anthony, just let us know, and we'll, of course, immediately get hold of you this morning and have that conversation with you. It is 8:01. The Selwyn Siegel Pesach Shop is packing stunning gifts with tea lights this year to brighten everyone's lives. Pop in and see their amazing range of gifts and help them to spread the light and make a difference in the lives of the precious Selwyn Siegel residents. Late night shopping till 8 on Tuesday the 28th at 113 George Avenue. That's in Sandringham, or shop online at www.selwynsiegelgifts.co.za. Chag Sameach from all at the Selwyn Siegel Gift Shop.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.